My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
I had friends who had who were living under tarpaulins, right, with a dirt floor, right. I had lunch with their family, and essentially it was very, very basic living over there. We weren't well to do either, right. So I know how bad it can get, essentially.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with Andrew David Courtney, founder of Plentitude Wealth. We'll hear about his family's journey from the Philippines to the sunny shores of the Gold Coast, plus how just one property investment allowed him to change careers and his future forever. Since 2018, Courtney has smashed goal after goal in his business. As a licensed financial advisor, buyer's agent, mortgage broker, and speaker with a healthy multi-million dollar property portfolio, maybe this should come as no surprise. Yet, he says unless other people achieve their goals of financial freedom, it won't matter. As the founder of full-service advisory company Plentitude, Courtney's plan is to educate over 1 million Australians by 2028. The question is, why?
So it's a very very niche market that we serve, and all in all, mate, since Australians love property, I think we're in a pretty good position to A, first and foremost, educate, right, and B, help them build their portfolio accordingly so that they can achieve their goals a hell of a lot faster, essentially. So we run three businesses: a financial planning business, a mortgage broking business, and a property buyers agency. And essentially, I try and overlay the portfolios that I've built myself for my clients, and essentially show them where the pitfalls are and make sure we stay clear of them and actually amplify the returns on investment and build their portfolio a hell of a lot faster than they otherwise would have gone themselves.
If Courtney's job sounds like a lot, it's because it is. He packs his days to the brim, but not necessarily with the priorities you may think.
Right now, day to day looks a little bit like this. So wake up at 5:30, ideally go for a walk, listen to an audio book. Big believer of that particular habit, and listen to it at either 2.5, 3.5 times, depending on how fast the audio book goes or the reader goes. And always asking a specific question, right? How do I make myself better? Or how do I make one part of the business or my life better? And this is how I pretty much operate across the board, right? And then from that, get home, start with the business, essentially. Typically run a morning meeting with my team and work out what are the fires that we're fighting this morning, what are the challenges, and essentially see what action items we need to take to ensure that we know the timelines for all of our clients who are acquiring property, right, and understand the plans that we're building out and make sure that we do a lot of QAQC. So right now for me, I'm transitioning from being the main operator to ideally more QAQC on the business side, because there's so many moving parts. So we're looking for a great operator at the moment to help me transition into more of an educator, trainer, sales and marketing kind of a person in the business. So lots of moving parts when it comes to the three businesses, but ultimately it's about making sure we have a smooth run at the process that we've built out. We're quite systematic in our approach, coming from a science background, which I'm sure you'll hear about soon. We have to be systemized, and we make sure that we've got certain milestones in place so that we can keep moving forward with precision and confidence.
Courtney is really running three businesses in one. He loves what he does, but he knows there's only one way to do it, and that's not alone.
I run them through having staff. You got to have staff. You got to have a solid team. You got to have obviously a fantastic culture in the team, and essentially a great training program to ensure that all the clients are engaged first and foremost. But more importantly, the staff and employees are engaged too, so that they understand what their roles are and how they help our clients moving forward, and how to keep the businesses sustainable and profitable as well. So. Mate, a lot of things, a lot of projects on the run, that's for sure. But I wouldn't have it any other way. We're currently running a quasi work from home kind of arrangement. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Aussies, and about 12 VAs who are overseas, basically. So majority in the Philippines, basically. So that's pretty much how we operate, mate. So half of the week in the office and half of the week at home. So typically 2 to 3 days per week in the office, and then 2 days at home for sure. So
Courtney's connection to the Philippines is much deeper than through his staff. He actually starts on a basketball court.
Yeah, so born in the Philippines, right? So my mum's Filipina and my dad's Aussie. Bit of a mixture. He's a Danish English. Grew up down in Melbourne, right? So born in the Philippines, grew up there until age 10, then moved over to Oz, and fell in love with basketball because in the Philippines, basketball was the number one sport, right? So everyone played it, and I was okay. I was probably average at best in the Philippines, but I came to Oz and hardly anyone played that sport. So I was like suddenly the top player in the school. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So I started playing more. and essentially looked at, well, in the 90s, obviously Jordan was the big dog at the time. And I was looking at him thinking, wow, I want to be like Mike too. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to go for it. So the whole time, basically since 11 to 20, I devoted myself to basketball because I was thinking maybe I can make the NBA one day. That's me growing up, mate. That's grew up in the Gold Coast, essentially. And 2009 moved over to Brisbane, and here we are.
Growing up overseas has left a lasting impression on Courtney. Of course, leaving a love for a childhood sport, but also transforming his perspective.
Because it's practically a developing nation at the moment. I would argue that it was a third world country back in the day when I was there, right? I had friends who were living under tarpaulins, right, with a dirt floor, right? I had lunch with their family, and essentially it was very, very basic living over there, right? I was lucky enough to have enough means within my family at the time, but we weren't well to do either, right? So I know how bad it can get, essentially. So I'm very grateful for the move, and I'll tell my parents all the time that was the genius move to move over here, because I don't know where we'd be as a family without that move to Australia, right? So really, it's a massive contrast, and it provides me with how should I say it? I guess a great baseline to work off of, right? So I can, because of that particular experience, I know for a fact that I can go back down there and be comfortable, basically, right? So it gives me the impetus to learn more and take a little bit more risk than the average person would, because I know the baseline is actually reasonably comfortable because of where I came from, right? So it's interesting.
As Courtney reflects on his time in the Philippines, there is a greater realization of the complex thoughts behind his parents' decision, a decision he says he is forever grateful for.
Since my dad grew up here in my mum's Filipina, we figured they were of the mindset of we can get help in the Philippines much easier, right? I.e. like someone to housekeep, right? Someone to cook and clean for us, basically, because my mum and dad were both working full time at the time, right? And half of their work had to go overseas, basically. So essentially, they needed to make sure that we had the support network. As I grew up, I'm also one of four siblings. So essentially, they needed to make sure that we had that support network to ensure that we would have a good upbringing. And my mum was a little bit hesitant, I believe, to come to Australia sooner rather than later, purely because she knew that we, you know, we couldn't afford nannies here and that kind of stuff, because, you know, it's expensive to hire local talent to help out, right? So essentially that was the big arbitrage for mom and dad, and really the straw that broke the camel's back was, or the final straw I should say, was the business opportunities for them really dried up in the Philippines. They got burnt a fair few times, and essentially what they decided was, as soon as I hit 10 and my siblings at the time were nearing adulthood, they decided, okay, it's time to move to Australia. Let's sell up and start from zero in Australia and build a new life. So they did that, sold everything, had just enough for the plane tickets, and made the move in 1995. And I'm going to be forever grateful for that move, because I tell you what, I mean, with the health issues that we've had in the family, like I'd say half of us would be gone by now if we were living in the Philippines, right? So Australia's a fantastic country.
Courtney says even his position in the family has shaped him into the person he is today.
Yeah, I'm the youngest, mate. The eldest is 10 years older than me, and that's my brother, oldest brother, and then I have a sister who's 8 years, and then another brother who's 7 years. So I'm the typical runt of the family who was running around trying to play with everyone. No one wanted to play with me because they were all a hell of a lot older. So right now I'm one of those guys that is always looking to involve myself in games and that kind of stuff, because I didn't really quite scratch that itch when I was younger. So I'm a game player of life basically now. So I see everything as a game and make sure we optimize for the win essentially.
Once Courtney's family finally reached Australia, there was no quick fix for their financial troubles.
Like we got help from St. Vincent de Paul's, right? So my mum would go around and try and pick up some food for us, because I think we only had like $1,000 amongst there was six of us, right? So that got us through for the next, I think for the first 3 weeks, and then during that time my mum and dad were basically just scrounging around looking for work, making sure that they got enough food for the next week. Right, so it was a really tough gig, until such a time where my mum's a professional pianist and singer, so she got her first gig at one of the hotels in the Gold Coast. Fantastic. So that was great. And then my dad picked up a managerial role in one of the, or it was a time zone actually. So I really enjoyed that. Holy moly. Cut my teeth in a few video games there, mate. So that was really good. But yeah, so prior to that, mate, it was hard going, but they didn't really show us what the issues were, so they did a fantastic job of hiding the stress that they would have felt, right? So all in all, mate, it was a stellar job that they've done. They sent me to the local primary school. We lived really close to the beach, so learnt how to I was a nipper, right? So learnt the Aussie way basically, and went to the local primary, public primary, and went through that, and I was sent to a Catholic high school. Basically, so my parents managed to get me through there, and all is well. Really, they managed to do a good job actually throughout that time.
Don't forget, Courtney was only one child in a family of six. While he was also enjoying school in the Gold Coast, his siblings were forging their own unique path.
Yeah, straight out into the workforce, all three of them actually. Yeah, they didn't want to pursue, because I think the other two needed to do one more year of high school. The oldest, he unfortunately couldn't get credit for his, I believe he did 1 or 2 years worth of university in the Philippines. It wasn't quite enough to get credit for uni here. So he had to sort of go back, and they didn't feel the need to do that. And I tell you what, the Aussie dollar relative to the Filipino peso is very tempting for young adults. So off they went and worked at McDonald's and nightclubs and pretty much did the partying thing as an 18 and 20, 21 year old do basically. And so they experienced that for the first few years basically, and started making their own money. So unfortunately for them, they didn't keep studying. And I think that's probably a big regret for them, because they're sort of, they didn't have a solid foundation for themselves as we moved over here in Oz.
Currently, financial advisor extraordinaire could have been yesterday's basketball star.
I was chasing after a scholarship to go to the US because being in high school, I was still 17 at the time, and I still had that dream of becoming the next Michael Jordan. So basically started my first year of uni as an exercise scientist, so hoping to get into physiotherapy at the time, right? As I was working towards the NBA, basically. So I managed to get a scholarship actually to go play in British Columbia, to revert back to high school for one more year of high school and hopefully get into college over there. But unfortunately, this is when then one of the many realizations really hit me that we weren't financially well off. Where I had the money, I was working at Woolworths at the time, and basically to travel over there, but I didn't have enough buffer. So on the 11th hour and 59th minute, they sent me an email asking me if I had $10,000 in a bank account for emergency purposes, basically. So I asked my parents that, and they didn't have it. And my brother and my siblings didn't have it either. So I had to give up on that particular dream. And then right then and there, I knew I needed to get out of exercise science, and the next dream was medicine, basically.
Courtney's first property investment was just one part of a much bigger balancing act, juggling study, work, and relationships.
So I started to buy a medical science degree, as a pre-med, trying to get into med, got into a few interviews, unfortunately got pipped to the post, essentially. Started working as a scientist, and during that time, I met my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, and we wanted to move out of home. So this is now 23. Right. So basically started working honors and started my honors degree and started working full time at the same time. I was fortunate enough to find that. And with that, we invested in our first one bedroom apartment in Buds Beach in Service Paradise, right? 5% down, basically. First homeowner's grant when it was available with existing property at the time. So got in, hardly any money in, and got it for 200 grand and basically moved out. And then 9 months later, it was valued at 250. And well, what we did was we basically pulled some equity out and acquired the next one, along with a few other bits and bobs that we did at the time to ensure that we leapfrogged across into our next property, basically.
So how does a biomedical scientist become a financial advisor?
So circling back to the question, mate, yeah, that was, so university degree, we went with biomed, did honors. And during that time, I studied a PhD hoping to get into med. Right. So 6 months into the PhD, I realized it wasn't quite right for me. And during that time, I've read Kiyosaki's books and all of those kinds of finance books that got me thinking, wow, this is it. This is it. This is for me. So I moved from the PhD, started working as a research assistant, and came across Tim Ferriss's 4-hour work week. And I was thinking to myself, oh, damn, there's no way I could do the 4-hour work week as an employee, as a scientist. Right. So I was trying to get out of science and, realize there's no way I could start a business as a scientist at that time. I had different, obviously, limiting beliefs in my head at the time, and I thought, okay, let me just keep reading. Let me work out what the next steps are, and basically found a couple of mentors from my network at the time who were doing financial planning. Right, so I thought, you know what? I caught myself talking to all the scientists about their finances and how to optimize for a better outcome. Because by this stage, we built up a three property portfolio, basically one with development potential, and the other one with multiple renovations that we've done. So we've built up enough equity to build momentum. And I was talking to people about their portfolio, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna try and get into finance because this is what I'm passionate about. I can't stop thinking about it. Medicine's great, but I realize it's not really about the money, it's about freedom and flexibility, and you can get your money elsewhere in life. You know, I was very kind of hyper focused on medicine because it was my auntie at the time, down in Melbourne, who's the well-to-do one in the family, and she was a medico, right? And then I realized, well, it's not really about your job; it's about, well, what else you do outside of your job, right? If you start investing, you can start building massive momentum for yourself, and thereby taking a little bit more risk, right? And you can potentially build your own business, right? So I knew I wanted to go down that path, and I basically found some mentors and transitioned from science into finance and learned the ropes on how to be a financial advisor and run a small business. That was back in 2013.
Now, Courtney was set on his new future. All that was left was to make it a reality.
I did melanoma research to begin with, and then did breast cancer. So for my PhD that I didn't finish, right? Did that for about a year. And then I did about 4 years worth of developmental biology, basically, right? So learning the different pathways of development, essentially. And from there, that's what I was I'm very grateful for my boss at the time. And I was working at UQ as a researcher, and she allowed me to work full-time while studying full-time, because I studied a Master of Commerce majoring in applied finance. So that was a year and a half where I was working full-time and studying full-time. So it was hectic as all hell, right? And that's when I transitioned post those studies, basically. So good solid 6 years worth of experience in the medical research field.
While Courtney is thankful for all his scientific study to forge his new life of financial freedom, some science had to be left at the university.
The transition was, as far as I was concerned, it was really easy in the theory space, right? The hardest part was the soft skills. The hardest part was talking to people about their finances, because I was very logical, right? It was, you do this, and this, suddenly it just makes perfect sense, but people don't think the way scientists do, right? So I had to really take a step back and sort of peel the onion as best as I can for people so that they can actually take action to put themselves in a better position. So I had to relearn the way I communicated, because I was very direct and I was very logical, because you had to be in science, right? So I had to relearn that communication skill and really kind of work out, well, how do you best communicate the strategies for people so that you can increase the likelihood of them moving forward and getting things done for their lives and putting themselves in a better position. Right. So that was one of the big ones. And then the next big one was bloody running a small business. Right. I had no clue how to run a small business. I knew how to build portfolios, right? But I didn't know how to run a small business. So that's when I transitioned from the old role in AMP into an independent like boutique firm where my mentors were. Right. So they mentored me throughout that transition. And then I started my own business within their business. So I learned what not to do and what to do within the small business context. In 2016, decided to start my own, basically, and that's Plenitude.
Courtney has worked with various investment tools, but in his own life, property has had real impact beyond just the balance sheet.
Three properties allowed us to do the career change, right? So as you're well aware, you know, that the property is a fantastic asset to leverage against, right? Because obviously there's no margin calls. You wouldn't want to leverage at 80, 90, 95% on shares, right? Because you can lose it in a heartbeat, right? So in property, you can do that, right? So that's pretty much what we did. We leveraged up, we pulled out a bunch of equity, and we moved into the space where I knew there was, so I'm an investor at heart, right? And then during that time, as I transitioned, I realized, wow, this new asset class right here, the business, is actually the highest leverage form of asset class that you can get into. If you do it right, and if you learn, and obviously there are so many lessons in running a small business, obviously, and getting it to a medium size or a bigger business, right? So many lessons that you need to go through. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to tackle this challenge, right? So essentially, I knew there was going to be a bit of a lull. You know what they say about learning, right? There's this uninformed optimism. And as you go down and you learn, you get to the valley of despair, you learn informed pessimism, right? And post the valley of despair, as you go up, you get to informed optimism and then mastery, right? So I was the uninformed optimist, basically, going down and through the valley of despair, learning about business. And then now, over the past couple of years, we've really kind of picked up and mastery has arrived. And the businesses are doing well. And now we're getting back into the property space again, because we've reinvested into the business, into the skill sets that we needed. And then now we're building our own property portfolio alongside of all of our clients as well.
Courtney says that for such an impactful tool that genuinely changes lives, property can often be overlooked or misunderstood by investors.
Being a property investor first and foremost, right, I went through a Master of Commerce asking my professors, what happened to property? Like, what happened to property as an asset class? They started talking about A-REITs, and I'm like, yeah, that's nice. it's good, don't get me wrong. I don't mind diversifying across different asset classes, but man, where's the residential property piece? Where's the personal finance? Right. So I was going through this Master of Commerce, supposedly one of the top things that you can do in the finance field, and there's nothing to do with personal finance. So I thought, wow, okay, this is very, very different. So I went into financial planning. No one talked about property. So I'm like, holy crap, this is a massive opportunity, right? So as I was building up my client base and talking to people about their portfolios, obviously property conversation came up. Majority of financial planners did not know anything about property, whereas I already built my property portfolio, built up enough momentum to make a career change and build massive confidence in my IP at the time. So I was comfortable talking about property, basically. So during that time, I realized, oh, I need to work with a strategic mortgage broker, right? So basically built out that network, started talking to my clients. This is what we're going to get up to. Okay, this is what you need to do, basically. And then refer to the mortgage broker. Some of them did their job, others didn't, right? And then I realized, man, the clients aren't really being serviced as well as they could be, right? So that's when we decided, okay, let's make it happen. So my wife and I basically became mortgage brokers, right? So my wife was a scientist too. So she transitioned over a few years later after I built proof of concept within the financial planning, right? She transitioned over and became a mortgage broker with me, right? And basically led that team. And we built out the mortgage broking arm so that we can service our clients better, right? And then the natural progression is obviously the buyer's agency piece, right? Because our clients were spending 200, 300 hours worth of research. We provide them with all the information, right? But they can't pull the plug.
Courtney's business is all about making the hard parts of property easier. So when he got to see firsthand just how much we get it wrong, Plentitude was born.
They don't know how to negotiate. They don't really know how to spend the right hours to actually put a deal together. And what happens is they'd spend 6 to 8 months looking for a property with no success, right? So I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm going to need to build out this particular service because the other buyer's agents didn't quite fit the bill when it comes to the analytics, right? So we would always provide reports. This is why we do X, Y, Z. This is the kind of trajectory we're looking at. Just making sure that we're holding our clients' hands the whole way through. So really to answer your question, mate, it's about service. It's about clients wanting more and the market didn't deliver as I was referring, right? So I realized, well, this is a gap. So let's make it happen, right? So essentially that's how we built the businesses out.
Hey there. Over the years, I've built up a portfolio of properties and it's been great to see capital growth. But the challenge I face is the passive income has been quite poor, providing a net return of 3 to 4% per annum. I'd have to buy at least 10 properties or more to generate $100,000 per year. Now, if I had the cash to buy these outright, which I didn't, then I need the help of banks, and as they wouldn't lend me more, I was stuck. This is when I start looking into alternative investments where I could use my equity and cash to generate 25 to 30% per annum returns and fast track my passive income goal. In a short space of 2 years, I've been able to achieve this goal and have tripled my passive income instead. Now, if you want to learn more on how I did this, SMS me your name and email address on 04-88-88-31-32. And I'll send you a free report explaining how I did it. Despite being an advisor by trade, Courtney puts his money where his mouth is. He's experienced the ups and downs of investing for himself, so clients don't have to.
The first investment that we made, it was a good short-term investment, but long-term, it didn't appreciate in value that much, right? So essentially, because it was a one bedder, it was a 56 square meter. Lucky I didn't buy under 50 square meters, right? One bedroom apartment in a 96 apartment block, basically, right? So very, very low land content. So that was a big, big lesson for me because like I would have kept it by now, right? I sold it off a few years ago because it just wasn't performing and I needed my borrowing capacity to ensure that we keep moving forward with confidence, right? So in terms of worst investment, that was it, but I don't really see it as a worst investment because the lessons that we got out of that, and it allowed us to propel into the next chapter, right? To acquire our next home, basically, right? So essentially, that's pretty much it. I think that's the big lesson.
Looking back on his first property purchase, Courtney can even pinpoint the reasoning behind it.
Affordability for sure. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So yeah, we went to the bank. What can we borrow? This is how much you can borrow. Off we go. Yeah. So affordability, we got in and essentially as soon as my wife's French, we had a long distance relationship for a little while there. She moved over here, found her first job. We combined forces and bought our first home, basically. First house, I should say. Right. And then from there, didn't really look back. So worst house in a good street, right? Great suburb. We renovated it. Pulled out equity, acquired another property, and off we went basically from there.
Courtney's current property portfolio uses all the investment techniques he's picked up along the way.
Well, currently we only have two, right? So this financial year is the first financial year where we're quite profitable when it comes to the business. So for next financial year, we're looking to that third property that we picked up has got development potential. So we picked that up in 2011, right? So it's appreciated. It's more than doubled in value now. We're just about to pull some equity out, reinvest back into the development, and then build out two more properties behind it, basically. That'll be cash flow positive, plenty of equity, go again, essentially. So it's a Marsden property. We picked it up back in 2011, and we knew at that time. So we did a few renovations at the time. We did a reno for our current home, and we did one reno at the time. And we added about 170K worth of upside. We put in about 50K worth of reno, and we had 170K worth of upside. We pulled out about, I think it was about 70K. And then from that 70K, we plowed that into this other one. And we knew we wanted a renovator, right? So as far as I'm concerned, like there are four key strategies in residential properties. It's buy and hold, buy, renovate and hold, buy, develop and hold, buy, renovate, develop and hold, right? So essentially, we wanted a renovate, develop, and hold deal, right? So we picked this one up for 300K back in 2011 in Marsden. It had a 1500 meter block, right? And essentially, we looked at the council, the zoning, and all that kind of jazz. Made sure that we could develop, right? And it was a bit of a crapper, to be honest. It needed good renovation. So what we did was we negotiated access prior to settlement. This is one of the common strategies that we do for our clients, right? Access prior to settlement to renovate and make better, right? Because there were a few holes in the wall, obviously a bad tenant previously, right? And the owner just wanted to get rid of it. So we picked it up. We had access for 3 weeks prior to settlement, and we renovated the whole thing. Settled, put a tenant in there, bang, done. So we increased the rent by about $50, right, per week, right? So we automatically got our cash back. We plowed in 15K on the reno, and it valued 30K above, right? This is day one, right, of acquiring it. So we knew we had a good one, right? And we knew we had the option or the lever to pull the development in the near future, right? And during that time, we knew that it was only a matter of time until we develop it, right? So really that was when I was transitioning from science into finance, basically working out what the story was. So we didn't develop sooner purely because the idea was a career change. The idea was to chase after freedom more, right? And to do that, it was to go down the path of building a business, right? And a successful one at that, and then build enough enterprise growth, right? Value, so that we can go ahead and keep acquiring properties along with building businesses as well.
For all investors, especially in property, there are moments where everything becomes clearer. Clarity can appear from out of the blue. For Courtney, it took one lazy night on the couch for everything to click.
The biggest one was the fact that you can leverage up. Basically, that was the biggest one. Back in 2008, when I first realized this, I was in so we bought that first property, right? One bedder, one bath. I was thinking, let's plow in as much money into the offset account and save myself $2 for every $1,000, $2 per week for every $1,000 that I put in there. I'm gonna save so much money to save on interest, right? So at that time, I was thinking, okay, this is the strategy. And then I came across a particular DVD. Right, and that DVD showed the power of leverage, right? And I can't remember the exact name of that one, of the person there, but in the end of the day, he talked about putting in as little as 5% deposit, gaining control rather than ownership, right? So during that time, I was like, okay, this is different. Okay, let me run the numbers. So obviously, I'm very analytical, right? So I ran the numbers and I thought, wow, okay, you're putting in maybe 10% max to control the upside of the property. And if that property grows by 5% per year, right, and you're putting 10% in, well, guess what? On growth, you're getting 50% ROI, aren't you? Cash on cash, right? So I was like, is this for real? So what I did was I projected out and I thought, okay, in 12 years' time, I'm going to be a billionaire because I was projecting out 10, 15% growth per year at that juncture, right? So very excited at that time. So that was the aha moment. I was like, okay, well, how do I leverage up? How do I ensure that I buy the right property first and foremost, right? And make sure that it's research-backed, right? And make sure that you're buying well, right? Because a lot of people fall for that trap, obviously, right? Thinking that every property is the same. But yeah, the aha moment is the leverage play, right? And amplifying the return on investment with good debt, right? That was the aha moment.
If you have truly good news, there is an overwhelming need to share it. For Courtney, this means exclusively sharing with listeners real life-changing stories.
Quick case study, you've got a client who didn't know how to get into property, right? So I talked to them. Okay, they got plenty of savings, right? So this is back in 2019. I thought, okay, this is what you can do: 20% deposit, right? You've got more than enough for that. You don't need to do much more. These guys had 900 grand in the bank. Professionals, they were really just struggling to take the next step. So they had a bunch of, or not 900 grand in the bank, they had 900 grand in gold, believe it or not, right? So essentially, and then they had about 200 grand in the bank. And I was telling them, you know what you can do is you can actually acquire property with debt, right? And it's not really going to cost you that much. So what's your rent, right? So they told me they were paying about 600 per week. And I said, well, if you look at it from a perspective of principal and interest payments, You're capable of borrowing $800,000 equivalent to $600 per week. And they're like, whoa, really? I'm like, yeah, that's how it works. And then I talked them through and I said, you don't have to put in a 50% deposit, guys. It's fine, right? You got enough cash, just put in 20%, see what happens. So what we did was we helped them negotiate a particular property and we bought this property under market by at least 200 grand for them. And believe it or not, it was on our street. So they acquired this property for 900, right? 1 year later, guess what the valuation came back at? 1.3 mil, right? And they still had 900 grand in gold. So I started talking to them. Well, why don't we look at a different property, right? Why don't we acquire a different one because we can make your money work for you? So we started diversifying their portfolio across different asset classes as well because you obviously don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. And then the next property that we looked at acquiring is a property in Toowoomba, right? So we acquired this property in Toowoomba. We bought it for 395. The valuation came back at 440, right? So the key is to buy under median. It's really as simple as that. Under median. Now, we bought it at 395 because it was a bit of a crapper, unfortunately, right? So there was a family there, old person living there for quite some time, needed to go to retirement, lived there for 30 years, vinyl flooring, ugly paint walls, all of that kind of stuff. So we facilitated the renovation and it's costing them 12 grand to rip up the floor, new painting, new kitchen, right? And we've got this four bedroom house right now. I would say if we were to sell it in the market, we'd get 460, 470 for it easy, right? So now they've pulled out, they've acquired a property, it's grown. So the first property is grown by 400 grand. The second property, it's grown by 70 grand upon settlement, or no, 60 grand upon 2 months, 1 month after settlement, right? And they're thinking to themselves, well, of course we're going to go again, right? It doesn't make sense not to, right? As they divest out of gold, but also getting them a diversified return on investment around that 14% mark.
One thing that separates Courtney from others is he doesn't stop there. He believes the growth process should be used on more than just money.
So they're doing really well for themselves and they start to see, holy crap, we're not actually stuck here. We're in a really powerful position. Right, we work out their cash flows. We make sure we automate a few things. So suddenly, we dollar cost averaging in a diversified portfolio. We're building up their equities in their property portfolio. We're helping them with their debt strategy. We're doing some debt wash. So we're just about to do a debt wash with their current principal place of residence. And then the question is, well, how much risk are you willing to take, right? Because in the end of the day, they're in a really powerful position, so they can go hard and pull out a bunch of equity and go up to 80% loan to value ratio in their principal place of residence as an investment loan. Right, and go again, maybe acquire two or three more properties, right? Or just do it one step at a time, acquire one property every 1 or 2 years, right? And they're going down that path because they just want to see more results, right? Build momentum, build confidence, see more results. And then now we're talking about acquiring a discretionary trust, right? Because it makes sense, right? Their children are starting to get older, right? As they get older, you can start distributing income towards the children, right? And potentially when they sell, obviously with different rules with the taxes, we need to make sure that that's right, right? To distribute capital gains towards children, right? So the next, I mean, as you can probably tell, the next venture that we'll be looking to start in terms of the business is definitely going to be accounting, right? 100%, 100%. Because, you know, it's all about providing our clients the most seamless experience as possible, right? So let's not forget. So there's the superannuation piece. You got to get that right. So we build a portfolio that's outperforming by 2% against all the majority of industry super funds, right? Right? Over the long term. So that's obviously going to be a big, big, big difference, right? So we look at the different strategies within the financial planning context. We look at the different strategies within the finance strategy context, right? And then we look at the buyer's agency piece and build out their property portfolio as strategically as possible to get as high cash on cash return on the equity that they've got, control the upside, and basically minimize the downside risk. And hey, presto, you've got a really solid optimized portfolio optimized for growth, right? And then it becomes unstoppable, mate.
So why does Courtney use his knowledge to help others? He could very easily keep the tools to himself. The reason is it hits close to home.
Well, look, as I was sharing earlier, like I wasn't well-to-do, but my family's not well-to-do financially, right? So I knew I needed to get out to get my freedom, right? To get my freedom and flexibility, which is what life is all about for me, right? So my biggest why is helping as many people to do that, right? And how we do that is through educating people. So we're pumping out a bunch of content, right? And the idea and one of the big missions in the company in Plenitude is to educate 1 million people before we get to 10 years in business, right? So we're now almost in six years, right? We're about 70,000 in. So we need some help, right? So as far as I'm concerned, my goal is to build out our team doing the same stuff, right? Doing more podcasts like this, making sure that we spread the word, making sure that people understand that there is financial education out there. It's time to get financially literate and understand your real options rather than what the government's telling you. Because I can tell you right now, $60,000 in retirement is nowhere near enough. Yeah, and the government's telling people that that's enough. I mean, what is this? This is just it's complete bullcrap, really. You know, so what we need to do is we need to get that right. And the biggest why is increasing financial literacy across the board.
Remember at the start of this episode when I spoke about basketball and business? Don't take my word for it. Take Courtney's.
Look, one of the things, what I'd love for the audience to have a look at is type in Kobe Bryant Valuetainment. Type that in and get your mind blown about the mentality that you need to achieve success, greatness in your endeavors, right? One of the biggest things that really struck me with that one, you've obviously seen that interview. One of the biggest lessons that I got from that one was Kobe Bryant, obviously one of the best basketball players ever, right? He said he treats the world as his library to solve every problem that he's currently facing, right? So that was the biggest thing. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, that's exactly what I've been doing for the past 10 years in my life, right? This is the way to do it, right? You've got so many people who have written a ton of books. You've got people like yourselves making a ton of content to actually lift people up. So all you need to do is work out what problem are you trying to solve, right? There are a bunch of books out there, so you may as well stand on the shoulders of giants, right? It doesn't make sense to reinvent the wheel, right? So there's this particular psychological concept called the zone of proximal development, right? There's only so much you can achieve as a person, right? So this is what you can achieve as a person. But if your goal's out here, right, it's going to be very difficult for you to do that because you need to stretch out what you can achieve. Now, there's only so much stretching you can do, right? So what you need to do to get to these kinds of targets is you need to get the right people in your team, right? You need to get the right coaches, consultants, right? The right team members to allow you to expand the output that you are capable of doing. Right. So as soon as I learned that, I was like, wow, yes, that's exactly what I need to do. Right. And ultimately we've gotten to where we are because we've gotten the right consultants, the right teachers, the right mentors at the exact time that we needed it, right? So what I suggest your audience do is have a think about, well, who are the players in my team, right? And who's the next one that we need in there to get us to the next level, right? Because there are levels to this game. And if you get the right people behind you, it's amazing what you can achieve within 1 to 2 years, right? Let alone 15.
Just like Kobe, Courtney doesn't leave anything to chance. If it needs doing, it will get done.
Look, I think it's definitely not luck. I can guarantee you that much. it's definitely hard work. It's an obsession. I boil it down to what Kobe said, right? If you can solve a problem, solve your problems with solve for point B with one problem at a time, right? And use the world as your resource, as your library, right? It's amazing how many problems you can solve and how much momentum you can build, right? So that curiosity piece is important. Coming from a place of abundance is important. And really throwing yourself in the deep end and understanding it from first principles is crucial, right? Far too many people jump in, take step five when they haven't even taken step one, two, and three yet, right? So you make sure you surround yourself with the right people and build up towards the goals that you're heading towards, right? Far too many people aim for luck. You don't want to be hoping for anything. You want to plan things out and pivot if it doesn't work out.
Courtney's own library of life has provided some powerful lessons.
The fear factor is really one of those things that you decide. You decide what you fear the most, right? I mean, back to my original story of coming from the Philippines, I've come from nothing. You know, I will easily go back to nothing, easily, right? And I will build up a hell of a lot faster because of the lessons along the way, right? So if you've got that kind of growth mentality and a mentality of abundance, right? I think that's the key. If you're grateful for what you have, right? And you understand how you got to where you are, you learned your lessons along the way, and you come from an abundant mentality rather than a scarcity mentality, right? You know you can get it back. Therefore, what's the worst case scenario? You know? What's the worst case scenario? You're living in Australia. Worst case scenario, you live in Australia, you move to a low socioeconomic environment, you rebuild in a 3 to 5 year period. That's the worst case scenario for me, right? That's nothing. That's comfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the thing. People need to toughen up their mind. We need to build calluses in our minds, right? And one of the key things that I do to help build those calluses is put myself in really uncomfortable situations, you know? And one of the key things that I've learned over the past few years is you can fast. You can fast. Like, I fasted for 26 days straight. No food, just water. Just water, right? And I put myself in a position where I was in agony, right? And I know what the depths of hell feels like, right? So all of this stuff is nothing. It's nothing, really. All of the fears, it's nothing. You'll be fine. It'll be fine. Just push through, you know? It's all good. Find someone who's done it before. Make it happen, you know? Fear is in between your ears, you know? You don't have to fear things. You just understand what's the worst case scenario and really define it. Because far too many people talk about it broadly without really defining it. As soon as you define it, then you can start risk mitigating against every single line item that you come up with, right? Because people make a big monster out of it when the fact of the matter is they're only little thoughts, right? So what I suggest people do is if any fear comes up, what you need to do is define exactly what the worst case scenarios are and all of the little bits and pieces, because far too many people blow it up to be something huge, but it's not.
The Courtney of today wouldn't be the man he is without countless past mistakes. But looking back, there are a few things he wished he knew.
I was just transitioning from science into finance. I would give him some stock tips. I would definitely share the story of Amazon. I'd talk about Elon and Tesla for sure. Right. I would definitely drop the crypto gem on that person. I'd be telling them, go all in, mate. Let's make it happen. get a cash out loan, load up, and wait and see what happens, mate. That's the fine on the finance side. Keep doing what you're doing. Right, get help sooner. Right, stop being a hero. Stop doing everything yourself. Right, because there's only so much you can do. One person can do. So if you get the right team behind you, you can move a hell of a lot faster, right? And always, always, always stay curious, right? I'm a very curious individual, so make sure I keep that going. and then make sure you take care of your health.
Property investing can unlock so much more than extra profits. In Courtney's own life, it's even allowed him to protect those he loves.
I guess the most recent thing that we've done is we've taken on my parents and my wife's mum to help take care of them, basically. So they live in our house, right? And we've got three kids as well. I'm hoping for a fourth. So back to the abundant mentality thing. Got three girls. So I'm hoping for a boy. Fingers crossed for a boy, mate. We'll see how we go. I'll take four girls though. Don't get me wrong. Four is enough. Four is enough for me because I grew up in a four kid household. So back to the question, mate. Yeah, helping my parents currently. They were living in an area in the Gold Coast that's not the best area, right? Living literally 50 meters away from a major highway, right? Major freeway. And we just realized in the past few months that my mum was having lung issues, right? And she couldn't get over this cough that she's had. She's had an infection in her lungs, right? She couldn't get over it. And then we never understood how she got to that stage until such a time where we moved her over here and where we live. We live on an island, right? We live on an island called Coochie Medlow Island here in Brisbane. Right. We took her on. Suddenly, she stopped coughing, right? Right. And then we realized, damn, it must have been the pollution. So I put two and two together, and I said, well, you're surrounded by cars, you know. Maybe not surrounded, but you're right next to the bloody freeway, you know. So it makes sense that you're not healing properly, right? So we brought them on, and essentially now they've lost a ton of weight. They're looking really healthy. Right, they're spending a bunch of time with their grandchildren, which is awesome, right? And all in all, mate, like it's a massive change to their lifestyle. So that's one of the big things. And ultimately, I want to pay it back. I want to make sure that decision that they made from the front end, like back in 1995, when they decided to sell everything in the Philippines, you know, will be paid back.
So what's next for him?
Look, apart from growing my family and getting that boy or girl, I'll take whatever comes. it's building my team, building the team, creating a training program for future advisors in the future, touching as many people's lives as possible, and making a big difference. Now, one of the things that I didn't share earlier is, so I'm also a treasurer for a not-for-profit called Alive, which is a youth suicide prevention program, right? So what I always share with my clients is my goal is to get you to your financial goals fast enough. And during that journey, right, we plant the seed of philanthropy, right? Because without St. Vincent de Paul, we wouldn't be where we are today, right? My mum, my family would have starved, right, at that in 1995. So I want to make sure we pass that on. We want to create that kind of philanthropic drive, right? So what am I excited about? Really making a mark, right? Creating that education, building a better education system, financial education system for people, right? Creating a philanthropic drive in the community so that we can help more people who are in need, right? And really helping build my team and help them achieve their version of financial freedom, right? Because it's not all about me. It's about what kind of impact you can make in other people's lives, right? So that's what drives me moving forward.
Thank you to Andrew David Courtney, our guest on this episode of Property Investory. If you love the show and you're a wholesale investor wanting to learn more about how I got started in alternative investments, where I've been able to use my equity and cash to generate 25 to 30% per annum returns to fast track my passive income goal, then SMS me your name and email address on 04-88-88-31-32 to register your interest. Now, in a short space of 2 years, I've been able to achieve my goal and have tripled my passive income. To find out how, SMS me your name and email address on 04-88-88-31-32.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run FutureTools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of Lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.